soon and very soon, Sister Diane and I was getting ready for church this evening, and she said, you know, I was thinking about the message this morning and what David had to give up. He so desired, he was so thirsty, he was so despondent, tired, and weary, and what he had to give up, he totally gave it up willingly just to pour it out before God, because he wanted to let God know that he appreciated and he was worthy of all praise. One of these days, no matter what you have to give up, heaven's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. Praise the Lord. You have your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. How many's ever heard the expression, I can't win for losing? I mean, he's ever experienced or seems like you experience that I can't win for losing. Well, I want to preach to you for just a little while this evening. And I said just a little while this evening. He causes me to win. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And especially those of you that have been struggling, you feel like you can't put one foot in front of the other. Seems like it's just everything you can do to make it, and enemy is just lambasting you every day. I want you to listen to this message, because Jesus Christ will cause you to win, because greater is he that's within you than he that is in the world. Exodus chapter 17, beginning at verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Y'all have heard this message and read this scripture 100 times. So this is 101st time. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What a beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture. I just want to throw this in here before I even get started in verse number 14. And those of you that you feel like you can't win for losing, that there's times that you win a little bit and you feel like you lose a whole lot. I want you to get you a book and write it down for a memorial. This is the victory that God won for me today. Hello. This is the victory that God won for me today. And when the devil, when he pulls out his little pad and begins to tell you that you can't make it, you say, this is the victory that God give me today. Give me yesterday, and I'm going to stand on that. Moses wrote it down as a memorial in the book. Can I tell you, church, you need a memorial to remind the devil that he is a loser. When he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future, because his future is not good. Build an altar. Build an altar. Call the name Jehovah Nissi. In all of our lives, we all need someone to back us up from time to time. We need a backup. How many of you need a backup? There's times of our life we just need somebody to encourage us, to pray for us, and to give us backup, right? I just wonder, can we be sensitive enough in our spiritual lives to keep someone's back and to watch them and to pray for them and to seek God for them? And we sense not being nosy by no stretch of the imagination, but we sense that they're struggling, and we take their name before God, and we stand before God with them, and we have their hands lifted up toward God. They may not know anything that's going on, but you're being a backup to them, and you got your hands lifted up, and you got their hands lifted up, and you and God's got something going on because you're going to be their backup. You're going to back them up. You're going to pray for them. Hey, there is nothing in this world more powerful than prayer. What a blessing and what an honor. What a blessing and what an honor it is if we would become someone's Aaron or her to keep that someone from going down in defeat. Calling them up and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you today. Not to be critical, but to lift up. Every one of us at times, we struggle and we have hard times and we feel like we're not going to make it, but we don't need to be critical of them. We need to encourage them and say, you can make it. I'm going to lift you up today in prayer. Jehovah Nisi, we often mention and tag that with the Lord is my banner. What does exactly that mean, that God is my banner? How many has ever heard Jehovah Nisi, God is my banner? So what does that mean? Looking into it farther and digging into the depths, that means that He is the existing one. He's the existing one. He is the existing. He is my Lord, capital L-O-R-D. He is the one, that Jehovah Nisi, to become known. Did you know that He desires for you to have a closer relationship with Him than you desire yourself? He desires that relationship. That Jehovah Nisi means to become known. It denotes a God who reveals Himself uncertainly, beyond question. He reveals Himself to you. He shows Himself to you. He is there beside you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, He'll lift up a standard against him. When you feel like that the enemy is about ready to throw the everything at you, just remember that God causes you to win. He's Jehovah Nisi. He is the one that becomes known to you in the midst of your hardest trial, in the midst of your darkest storm that you're experiencing, you're going through. God wants to reveal Himself to you in a very special way. Can I just tell you tonight that He wants you to know Him, and He wants you to allow Him inside of your life. He is a personal God. Look at your neighbor and say, He is a personal God, and He wants to be personable to you. He is a personable God, regardless of where you're at. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And you will find rest for your soul. You're saying, Pastor, I feel like I just can't take no more. I'm about ready to pull my hair out. I'm about ready to throw in the towel. Don't do it. God is on the throne, and He's there for you. He will give you rest for your soul. Hang on just a little bit longer. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Every one of you needs to write this down somewhere. You may not need it today. You may be on cloud nine. You may not need it tomorrow. But somewhere in your life, you're going to need this. There is no progress without a process. We sometimes wonder why we have to go through what we're going through. We sometimes wonder, I just don't understand the situation and the circumstances of my life. But I just come by to let you know tonight that God has a plan for you. I'm about ready to get ahead of myself, but God does have a plan for you. And there is no progress in your life without a process. God has a process for you, and He wants to grow you. He wants to strengthen you. I'm often reminded, and I even have to tell myself at times, of the story of the man that God told him to go up the mountain and put his feet upon this rock and put his back against another rock and just start pushing on that stone. And he pushed on that stone, and he pushed on that stone for years. And finally he came to God and he said, God, I've been persistent. I've been here. I've done everything I know to do, and I pushed on that rock and it hadn't budged one smidgen. How many knows what smidgen is? hasn't moved one smidgen. God said, I didn't tell you to move the rock a smidgen. I just told you to push on it. And as he pushed on it, he realized that his leg muscles had gotten stronger. His endurance had gotten stronger. Can I just tell you again that there is no progress without a process? Whew. That ought to left somebody shouting tonight. Numbers chapter 23, also another very familiar passage of Scripture. Numbers chapter 23, 22, 23, 24. The king of Moab, Balak, tried to hire a prophet of God named Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He tried time and time again. He was constantly. Look, Kyle, would you care to turn on the fan? My message is getting so hot, people can't handle it. They're just fanning like crazy. Thank you, sir. Are y'all all right? Okay, just wanted to let you know. We get so stiff sometimes we forget how to, you know, even know where we're at. So, that being said, what was I talking about? Balaam and Balak. Balak hired or tried to hire Balaam, and Balaam was cooperative for a while, got in an argument with his own donkey, but nevertheless he tried to hire Balaam to curse Israel. And all the altars that they set up and all the sacrifices that they offered unto God, Balaam come to the place that he realized that what God has blessed, no man can curse. And the children of Israel, God had blessed and put his blessings and put his stamp of approval upon them. And it did not matter what kind of prophet Balaam was. It did not matter what kind of statute he had in his relationship. He had to realize that God was still God, and God was still saying what he meant to say and doing what he meant to do. And he said, I cannot curse that which God has blessed. Well, can I just come by and tell you tonight, church, if you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, regardless of what the devil wants to make you think, regardless of how he tries to lie to you, you've been blessed by the Almighty God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is applied to your life and made you as white as snow, and you are blessed by the power of God, and that which God has blessed, Satan cannot curse. You say, well, then why in the world am I feeling like I'm feeling? Because we are still flesh, and the flesh has to go through the process. And when we go through the process, at the end of that process, we're going to find that there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just like that song we were singing a while ago. There's a day coming when we're going to march into glory land and we're going to be glad. I absolutely love this. I want you to get a hold of this. This is one of my favorite scriptures between Genesis and Revelations and everywhere in between, but I love this passage of Scripture, Numbers 23, verses 19 through 21. Balaam says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, this is for you, child of God. God is no respecter of person, and he's no respecter of generation or the ages of time. But this is you, child of God, you that are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. God has blessed you, the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout glory. The blood of Jesus Christ has blessed you. I was going to stay calm tonight, but that didn't work. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. That's Israel. He has not beheld iniquity, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. And this last few words, It just makes me want to shout because he pronounced to Balak, he said, there is a shout of a king among us. I want you to know when the enemy comes in and he's lying to you, he's about to drive you crazy. You feel like that you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do. You just begin to look up to heaven and lift your hands up toward God because there is a king in your midst. You are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and there is a shout. There is a shout. There's a shout of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The shout of a king is among us. You know why our king is shouting? Because he has been made overcomer. He's been made overcomer of death, hell, and the grave. He was made overcomer of all sicknesses and all diseases. There's a shout of a king among us. Glory. Numbers 23 and 21, you need to underline that if you write in your Bible. Don't make your note in there on a piece of paper. Okay, listen. I'm directly coming to your spirit, man, and to your mind, okay? Do not be distracted by what you see. Are you listening to me? Do not become distracted by what you see, but stand fast on what you know. God is a God of the living. He is not a God of the dead. He is the God of yes and amen. Balaam, a long time ago, said he is not a God that should lie. He is not a God that he has to repent. He is faithful. So I just want to tell you one more time to make your notes. Let the devil know you're not debating him. You're not talking to him no more. He has no authority. He has no power over you. He's a liar in the name of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb of Almighty God has covered you. And there is a shout among you because God has prevailed through his Son Jesus Christ. It does not matter what you see, but it's what you know. It does not matter what the storm clouds look like. It's knowing that he is the God of the storm clouds. While they are over our head, they are under his feet, and there's a shout of a king among us. He does that which is right. I said he does that which is right, and he will defend you and he will keep you. For the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 57 verse 17 said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The devil likes to throw things at you and makes your mind and makes your feelings and makes your emotions see these things as reality. Hello? But it's not what you see or feel, it's what you know. I know where I'm going. I'm just trying to think of something here. There's something relevant. It's not coming to the forefront yet, but it will. Virtual reality. See, I told you, just, you know, you get mine Kelby's age, it just takes a while for it to come around. There's virtual reality, and Satan is the master of that virtual reality. It looks like you ought to be able to touch it. It looks like that it's going to hurt you. It looks like that it's going to overtake you. But it's not what you see, feel, think. It's what you know. And God said, I will not allow anything come upon you that you and me can't handle. I will take care of all the adversity that comes into our lives. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you, thee in judgment shall find condemnation. This is the heritage. This is the heritage. Did you listen to this, church? This is the heritage of a servant of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. My. You ought to be shouting tonight. I said, this is the heritage. Knowing that God Almighty has paid the price. This is your heritage. See, it's not what you see that makes me the king or makes me a king's kid. It's the blood of Jesus. You can't see it, but it's there. And it's the blood of Jesus that makes me an overcomer. It's not what you see that gives me the ability to fight. It's not what you see that gives me the ability to endure. It's not what you see that causes me to stand fast and move forward. But it's the blood of the Lamb. And can I tell you, there's more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more than sufficient. The blood of Jesus Christ. One drop of the blood of Jesus Christ can take away all of our sins. Listen, can I just tell you that God has more for you than what you can see? It's your heritage. I've given you some scriptures tonight. You ought to leave here, grab a toothpick, and beat the devil up. Come out of Siloam. It's God's word. It's not what you feel. It's not what you see, but it's what you know. Listen, God has plans for you more than you can see. He has a specific outline for your life. He has a specific outline for your life. You may not see it now, but it has already been designed, and it is written in the hand of Almighty God. David said in Psalms chapter 139, beginning at verse 13, "For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before one of us came to be, he already had a plan, already set in place, and already in design. Very familiar passage of scripture that we like to read it, but we sometimes fail to really grab a hold of it. And that's Jeremiah chapter 29, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts. I will be found of you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to a place where I have carried you from exile." The God that we serve is so awesome, and he's so big. There was times that he had to bring the children of Israel to a place of discipline, but it didn't mean he didn't love them. There was a time and a place that they had to go through the process, but it didn't mean that God didn't love them. He wanted them to make progress, so he had to take them through the process. And in the process, there was times that he brought them into exile. He brought them into captivity, and he caused them to be slaves to certain people. But this one passage of scripture that absolutely blows my mind, that they was in captivity, and God was telling them, "You need to come up. You need to serve me. You need to draw close to me." And he said, "But while you're in captivity, I'm still going to bless you." That's kind of where we are right now. We're in captivity. We're in a pilgrim land. This ain't our home. We're just a passing through. If that don't do anything to you, but just let you know that while you're in this country, you're passing through, God said, "I'm still going to bless you. The best is yet to come, but I'm still going to bless you. You're my child. You're my heritage. I've got my hand upon you. The plan I have for you is written in the palm of my hand. You just hang on with everything that you got. It's not what you see, but it's what you know, because the grace and the power of God is well able to take you through whatever you're going through." Praise the name of the Lord. I'm finished. All I like is closing up. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 through 18 said, "Can a mother forget the baby of her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget," though he said there's a possibility that mama may forget that baby that she bore. But God said, "I won't forget you. I won't forget you." Seen, listen. This is you. You got the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, right? This is you. He said, "Seen, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are ever before me. Your sons hasten back, and those who laden you waste depart from you. Those who try to destroy you, they're out of here. They're gone. Lift up your eyes and look around, all you sons. Gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride." There is victory laps coming for you. Just don't give up. Told you this morning, it's not the one that runs the fastest or started the first, but it's the one that endures to the end. There is not one that leaves the race gets the prize. There have been those that had to be carried across. There have been those who had to crawl across. There have been those who had to drag their body across. But whatever you have to do, don't give up. Because the God that I serve has His plan written in the palm of His hand for you. You are His heritage. And though you struggle at times and you may feel like I can't do it, but there will be no progress without the process. And God will take you through. He will not put you through what you cannot handle. He's the God of your life. Would you stand with me? Father God, I love you, appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, it's spoken to my heart, and I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will speak to every heart and every life, Lord, that's here tonight, God, and those that are struggling, those that, Lord, they can't see the plan that you have, but God, help us to understand and realize you have a plan. Lord, that plan is written on the palm of your hand. You love us, you care for us, and we are your heritage because you bought us with your precious blood. Father God, I thank you, I worship you, and I appreciate you in Jesus' name. Anyone here tonight needs special prayer of any form, shape, or fashion before we're dismissed? Or perhaps you just, this word has touched your heart and you just need to find a place to bow before the King of Kings and show Him your gratitude and show Him your love. Is there anyone tonight you just desire to let Jesus know He's your everything and He's your all? Thank you, Jesus.